Hello, I'm Mark Abercorn. I'm the product manager for Webster Virtual Enterprise. I'm here today to talk to you about this product. There are a couple of formats that you can consume this presentation in. One is a podcast, one is an online video. So I'll do my best to make sure that folks are aware of, which slide I'm on at any point in time, in case you are watching the slideshow alongside this presentation, but I'll also do my best to allow this audio to stand away from the presentation underneath. Moving to slide two. So, what exactly is the value of Webster Virtual Enterprise? There's three main pieces. You have resource optimization, application prioritization, and high availability. And we'll talk about each of these in more depth as we go through. Resource optimization, we have some policy-based management capability in Webster Virtual Enterprise that allows for more intelligent allocation of physical resource to application workloads based on a set of policies for response time goals and a view as to the observed demand in the actual deployed instance. Application prioritization is used in conjunction with resource optimization, in the event that there is contention for resource, obviously somebody has to be deprived of resource temporarily, and this application prioritization allows that to take place, in accordance with business goals. And then high availability is the final piece. There's basically an abstraction or a looser coupling of application deployments into a configuration that's less static with Webster Virtual Enterprise. Whereas you have to specify, the precise nodes that a given application would run on in a static configuration, use an abstraction called a node group and a dynamic cluster to declare where an application should run, and then Webster Virtual Enterprise can do some swizzling within that group to affect the outcomes it needs. To give you a pictorial, get in your head what this looks like, I have a bit of a demo here. Or at least the animation. Imagine you have three clusters in your insurance company. You have a quote processing application, which represents new customers, so that's important. Auto insurance in cluster two, and home insurance on in cluster three, right? And these clusters are largely siloed. That is, they have separate sets of nodes. There's no way to share this resource between pools. And basically, each cluster has to provision for the peak of its particular workload. So let's see what happens. Okay, cluster one, the quote processing application, has experienced a spike in demand, perhaps because of an ad campaign or a promotion. And as a result, it's up to 55% utilization for the quote processing application. You'll notice the other clusters remain at the same level they were previously. Quote processing application takes another increase to 75%. And finally, it gets to 100% utilized. And again, the other clusters are very low, are experiencing very low utilization. So, quote processing application is experiencing some pretty lengthy processing times. Customers are, getting antsy or impatient, and they go away to perhaps a competitor. You lose revenue. So there's a very real penalty for this type of an experience. And the unsettling thing is that there's quite a bit of capability in cluster two and cluster three to serve this workload, this need, but we can't tap it in our static cluster. Webster Virtual Enterprise allows us to confine that stuff into one logical pool. And as you can see, if we had done that, we'd have a more healthy utilization of 55%. And another benefit is you don't need to allocate hardware resources across the board for the peaks. You simply need to allocate hardware for the average case in all of these applications, plus a small buffer that's shared across all of these applications. And the assumption there is that these applications don't normally peak at the same time. And you'll notice that we've also specified that, quote processing application, the auto insurance, and the home insurance are all different levels of priority. For example, quote processing represents new customers, so that's gold. That's a higher priority. auto insurance and home insurance are lower priorities. And you may choose to add some additional applications to this pool as well as we go on. So, this is able to grow because, it has available capacity incremental to what I had in the more static configuration. So, talk a little bit more about the main value points. So, policy-based workload management, how does this work? Basically, you'd specify a performance goal for a given application. This performance goal is attempted to be met. So, basically, we have something called an on-demand router that sits in front of our environment, and it will keep track of the incoming requests, how long it's taking to serve those requests against the response time goal that was configured. In the event that the response time goal is not being met, so for example, say it's 1200 milliseconds and we're seeing 1500 milliseconds, then it will do its best to allocate additional resource for that application to allow it to meet its response time goals. Of course, that's only available, that approach is only available as long as there's net new resource. And what that brings us to, of course, is a question, well, if I don't have any net new resource, what happens? That's application prioritization on slide six. So service policies are, like what I was mentioning on the previous slide for defining service level goals. You can also allocate priorities, and we showed this in that little demo as well. Gold, silver, bronze type importances, if you will. This will enable us to not only prioritize these workloads against each other, but also allows us to sort of bin requests and look at how one, a gold or a platinum or whatever service policy is performing against its needs. So it allows you sort of to bin these together and look at them as one logical pool of workloads. Application edition management is another key piece of the Webster Virtual Enterprise offering. It allows you to upgrade applications without interruption, which is a key point. Basically, what it allows you to do is deploy a new version of an application alongside an existing application version, and it allows you to map new requests to the new version and quiesce the old work off of the old application as their sessions expire. This allows you to basically roll in a new version of an application without experiencing an outage, which is a very obviously compelling prospect. Health management is the final key piece that I'll talk about. Health management allows you to specify a set of indicators, problem indicators, and take preemptive action to prevent those indicators from turning into, problems. This results in better availability, less administration required, and more satisfied end users. So things you can do would be specifying a heap size at which you take some action. So whenever the heap size reaches 2 gigabytes, I know that that's the max for my JVM. Or let's say you want to set the threshold at 1800 megabytes, and you can, shoot that JVM and allow some of the workload to spill over to other cluster members and bring that workload back up, and you have less chance of a memory leak taking you down. Another thing you can do is specify a maximum age of JVMs and a preemptive action of, recycling that JVM in the event that it gets to be, too long-lived. I mentioned high availability. Because we're taking this approach where we have basically node groups, that instead of having silos of applications on a set of nodes that are hard-coded to be or hard-configured to be the pool of resource for that app, we've basically defined a single pool. And we're mapping, virtual enterprise on top of that as an abstraction layer. So applications can run anywhere within that pool of resource, dependent upon where virtual enterprise chooses to run them. And virtual enterprise has placement algorithms inside of it to dictate and first determine and then dictate where the best place would be for those applications to run. So, previously, if you've allocated, let's say, three nodes to application XYZ, and you lose one of those nodes, you're down to 66% capacity for that application. However, if you're in a virtual enterprise pool, you remove one of the nodes. All you have to do is move those application workloads from that node onto another node in the pool, and you're fine. It's kind of like an insurance policy. You're spreading the risk over a wider area. One more concept I want to talk about is different levels of virtualization. We talk about Webster Virtual Enterprise as an application virtualization concept, which is Slightly different from the familiar server virtualization space, you know, where you have a hypervisor running on physical hardware. Application virtualization allows you to do more logical operations across, you know, coordination, scheduling, managing workload across a pool of resources. So this involves, you know, workload managers, placement engines, schedulers, that type of thing. Whereas server virtualization is running, you know, a hypervisor that allows you to partition your server hardware, but that still can be a relatively static prospect without a set of other management capability on top. So that begs the question, is application virtualization all I need? Is server virtualization all I need, or should I use them together? Well, first of all, let's talk about this from the perspective of server virtualization. You know, what's going on inside the virtual machine you're running? Does the virtual machine management software understand it? Is it able to manage, you know, inside the black box level? Is it aware of internal metrics, internal you know, response times, memory sizes, those types of things? It has some of that information, but not all. So obviously the answer is with application virtualization, we can get finer grained. We have more information. We can make more informed decisions. So we've actually done a study in IBM on slide 12, combining Web Server Virtual Enterprise and a server virtualization environment, you know, from VMware ESX. And we saw that allowing the Web Server Virtual Enterprise capability to manipulate, you know, basically the virtual machine mobility concept, basically allowing workloads to move within VMs, between different VMs, as opposed to moving the VMs themselves. So again, a finer grain movement. We were able to increase efficiency. The throughput was twice as large, so 200%, and the response time was half, so 50% response time. So it's compelling to use a combination of WVE and server virtualization in this space. So server virtualization gives you the abstraction layer of the, you know, the hypervisor, but Web Server Virtual Enterprise is a better way to actuate movement of workloads between Java virtual machines. I'll close with a description of a problem study we did at a large US airline, one of our customers. The problems they were seeing were experiencing spiky CPU utilization and irregular response times, and this was on their application for, you know, taking reservations. They also saw application updates requiring a site outage, and of course that results in lost revenue because obviously if they can't take bookings, they can't sell plane tickets. So the solution involved Web Server Virtual Enterprise, the workload management capability, you know, the policy-based workload management, adjusts the server weights and evens out the CPU utilization and response times. Web Server Virtual Enterprise's application edition management allows application update with continuous availability. We talked a bit about that. So, you know, this had a key benefit for them where they were no longer losing revenue through their application updates. So, again, a very real benefit to using this type of software. So, I'd like to thank you for your time. This closes my presentation. My email address is hmarc@us.ibm.com. Feel free to email me with questions that you may have, and I hope you enjoy the presentation. Thank you.